Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thank you for listening to Susie Larson Live. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. So thanks for giving, and thanks for sharing with a friend. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know I really love to talk about health and the healing process, right? I always ask you, imagine what a healthier, healed you might look like. What might that look like? Well, today I want you to sit back, take a deep breath, and imagine what it might look like for you to flourish in your finances. And this isn't just about building up your investments and savings accounts. It literally is about living free, living generously, living faithfully as a steward of all God's entrusted to you. Did you know that financial freedom and wholeness is possible when you invite God into the center of your story? Our friends Bob and Linda Loddick join us every month to talk about our relationship to money. And the title of his book is Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. Truly one of my favorite books on finances, and I'm so grateful that they get to join us each month. But we've got kind of a plan now over the next few months. Over the next few months, they're going to lead us on a journey towards financial freedom and wholeness. I want you to lean in. I want you to say, count me in. I want you to trust God that He can move you forward in ways, you know, it's always small steps, but it's big results. In no time, you look back over your shoulder and go, I can't believe I did that. I paid off that bill. I can't believe I built my savings account up. I can't believe I was able to give that great gift to that missionary. If you take the small steps that Jesus tells you to take, you will be amazed. So over the next months here, they're going to lead us on a journey, not only to just see flourishing in our finances, but to grow in the grace of giving. And they're going to assign us homework each time, if you're up for it. So today, we're going to hear Bob and Linda's financial story. Now, I know we've talked about it before, a little bit here and there, but they did a podcast, and they're setting up their listeners on their podcast to, over the course of, how I can't remember how many weeks, I'll ask them, but to move to a place of financial freedom and wholeness. And their opening podcast of this series, where they really took their time on their story, I listened to it twice. I've sent it to loved ones. It was so good. So I said, let's do that today. But then toward the end of the show, we're going to talk about the second most important number that you need to track if you want to be financially free. And Bob says you can figure out that number in about 10 minutes. And we're going to link up that worksheet on the show notes today if you decide to take the challenge. And here's what he writes. God is bigger than any financial problems we face, but we have to be willing to step out in faith to see the miracle. Oftentimes, that step of faith is a natural step that allows God to do the supernatural. When we take the natural step while prayerfully asking God to do the supernatural, we open the door for the miraculous. And I mentioned this book, Simple Money, Rich Life. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And I wonder if you could guess, what is the second most important number that you need to track? What's the second most important number? If you just want to take a guess, go ahead and text me, 877-933-2484. 2484. A couple quick announcements. I'm just going to be the last time I think I mention this, but for those of you who live in the Twin Cities area, I'll be speaking at the Extraordinary Woman Conference on Saturday, April 27th at the Sheraton, Minneapolis, and Minnetonka. You can find more info at discovermyinsidestory.com. And also, our spring fundraiser's next week, so please be praying for us. That's an intense time. It's a powerful time. But we always sort of get hit, you know, so we would love some prayer coverage if you don't mind. Now, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. For the last 14 years, award-winning blogger and podcaster Bob Loddick has been a trusted voice for Christians wanting to find financial freedom the way God intended. He has shared timeless wisdom and practical strategies with more than 50 million readers, listeners, and students through his Seed Time blog. It's amazing. And his online courses and Seed Time Money podcast. Bob lives in Franklin, Tennessee with his wife Linda and their three children. You can find more about him and the ministry at seedtime.com. Linda Loddick is co-founder of Seed Time and co-host of the Seed Time Money podcast. She's a fireball who helps you see things from a spouse's perspective and keeps all the money talk light and fun, and that is just so true. Bob and Linda, welcome back to the show.
Susie, we're glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Looking so forward to this. So, Linda, I'll start with you because we start the show every day the same way, and it's just making the question more personal. But just in your time with God, it doesn't at all have to relate to the money conversation, but what has God been talking to you about these days?
You know, I just read a book about heaven, and it was this woman who, you know, she thinks she had a vision of heaven. She's pretty light-handed with it because she's like, even if it's not true, she's like, take it to the Lord. But what it did to me was it got me thinking about heaven. So it's like, I don't know if she's right or wrong, but I love the idea of what will it be like when we actually get there? And what is the eternity that we're living for? And how does that change the way I want to live my life on earth? And it really just got me excited.
Wow. That's really wonderful. How about you, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been in a similar vein where I've heard, you know, that phrase, you don't want to be so eternally minded that you're no earthly good. And I actually think it's kind of the opposite. We have the opposite problem where I think not enough of us are thinking about eternity. Because when you think about eternity, you think of everything in terms of eternity, and especially our finances, it changes the decisions that you make. And most times you make better decisions when you understand that we are part of an eternal kingdom that is longer than this life. And so that's just been something that I've been thinking about, studying a little bit more. And then Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you'll reap if you faint not. That verse just popped off the page today as we were kind of having a discussion. And God's good. He's good.
He's so good. So good. I remember about 8-9 years ago when my sister's husband died of pancreatic cancer, and it was one of my daughters-in-law was still fairly new in the faith back then, and she asked me about heaven, and I realized I've been a believer for such a long time. And I know so little. And I started to do a deep dive and research and read books. And we had guests, you know, Chip Ingram. I read some Randy Elkhorn, John Burke. I highly recommend John Burke's Imagine Heaven. But really starting to understand that heaven's going to be a sensory explosion. I mean, anything you think you've tasted, smelled, seen here is a taste of things to come. And I agree with you, Bob. It's like when you think about that phrase, people being so heavenly minded, Scripture says, fix your eyes, you know, on Jesus and set your heart on eternity. And that how you live here echoes into how you live there. So I love that you started the show with that. So good. Okay, so buckle up, friends. I know some of you have heard portions of their story, but I really want to take time to unpack it so that they understand where you're coming from. And again, toward the end of the show, we'll talk about the second most important number to track. And in a few weeks when they're back, we'll talk about the first, the most important number to track. So, Bob, let's start with you. When you worked at a bank, so you knew everything about money, and right? Or something like
that. What I believed.
Take us back to that part of your story.
Yeah, so I believed that. I was a little bit overconfident, I guess I should say. And it's funny, the stats say that it's something that 70 to 80% of Americans would say that they're good in managing money if you ask them that question. And yet you have nearly that many living paycheck to paycheck. So there's some sort of disconnect between what we believe about our abilities and what's actually true. And so for me, it was very much that. I was a mess financially, did not know it, but because I worked at a bank, I just thought I had it all figured out. But kind of going back to that point, you know, just kind of breaking down my turning point, because I think sometimes people think, oh, you guys talk about money, you've always been good. It's like, no, like we were actually really, really bad.
We've had to overcome.
And it's the grace of God that we even get to talk about money and that we, you know, even have a house, you know, all that stuff. Like, he's using the simple things to confound the wise. I'll just say it that way.
That's right.
But anyway, so for me, going back to that phase, and Susie, I'll let you drive a little bit and direct where we want to go. But my turning point moment was when I was about 20 years old in a town down in Sarasota, Florida, actually. It was the day before my 21st birthday. I had just gotten paid. And it was a Friday. The sun's out. It's 75 degrees. I have a convertible. It's like I'm living the dream as far as I'm concerned. It's like everything's going great. And then as I'm having my great day, driving down the road right in front of this minor league ballpark, the car just stops running, you know, just right in the middle of the road so fast that I couldn't even pull over. There's cars everywhere because there's a ball game that's about to start at this ballpark. And so I get out of the car and I'm like trying to push the car to the side of the road by turning the wheel and pushing the door, that whole thing. and get over to the side of the road, and I'm sitting in my car, and I'm like, I don't know anyone. I'm 1,000 miles from home. I was kind of down on a sabbatical down there. I didn't have anyone to call. And I'm like trying to figure out what to do. And that's a problem, you know, that anyone listening is like, all right, that's a problem. Not the best thing that could happen that day. But what unfolded as I was sitting there, like all the weight of the world started landing on my shoulders as I realized, wait a minute, I got to get this car fixed, you know, basically because the whole world was about to come crashing down because I just picked up my paycheck that I was going to take over to my landlord to pay rent that was due that day. But if I didn't get it done that day, they would tack on an extra $50 late fee, which I didn't have the money to cover because my paycheck was just enough to cover rent. My checking account only had $7 and I had a credit card, but it was $260 from being maxed out. And so I'm sitting there like trying to figure out, like, how am I going to get this car towed somewhere, get it fixed, do all that for under the $260 plus $7 in my checking account, $260 available credit. And then get over to my landlord to pay them so that I don't have this $50 late fee that I can't afford. And then, oh, by the way, my friends are coming down the next day. I got to pick them up from the airport 45 minutes away. And like all of this, I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And I, you know, and it got me to this point where I realized, wait, I don't know everything about money. I think I do. And which was such a humbling moment for me. And I remember sitting in that, you know, front seat of that car, grabbing that wheel, gripping it, and like tears like welling up in my eyes as I cried out to God and said, God, I need help. This is the fruit of my labor, of my efforts, of my financial strategy. It's gotten me here. And if you have a better plan, like I'm ready to follow. I'm ready to listen.
Hmm. And, you know, I think so many are living in a house of cards, you know, just sort of dodging the next crisis and thinking all is well. And this is why this conversation, though people want to put their fingers in their ears and not talk about money, we've got to face it because God wants to come to the center of it and bring redemption. So before we get to Linda, how did God meet you there? What were the first steps you needed to take, Bob?
Yeah. So yeah, the first step though, for sure, was a humbling. And I think this, man, God, what's that verse say? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And there's something about that. Like if we want to be open to change, we want to be open to life change. It starts there and just admitting that we need help and that we aren't able and that we need his ability. And so that was the first step. But beyond that, the kind of the next thing he began unraveling to me was learning. And honestly, I didn't know the Bible talked about money. And then you plop open your Bible and start doing some studies and some scripture searches. And it's, you realize the Bible talks about money like crazy, you know, thousands of verses about money. And so it's mind blowing how much God talks about it and for good reason, because it's a challenge for so many of us. And I think when you add in the heart component of serving money rather than serving God, that's so easy to do in the culture that we live in. Anyway, it's an important thing for our time. And so that was kind of the first step for me, like starting to understand what the Bible said about it while continuing to read books about the practical pieces that I needed to apply to my life as well. But that was the beginning of my journey.
And on the other side of the break, after Linda gets to tell her story, it's a spoiler alert. I mean, some of you know this part of his story, but he went from that place of barely hanging on to being able to give away $1 million before he was 40 or by the time he was 40. And that story is just unbelievable. But we're going to pause here. When we come back, Linda, I'll have you pick up your story. So you guys don't know each other yet, but what your financial backstory is and how God really prepared you guys to meet and together to go on this journey, to invite God into the center of your finances and to watch what he will do. Talking to Bob and Linda Loddick, they come on every month to talk to us about our relationship to money. And we're starting right here and going forward in the next several months, they're going to help us get to a place. If you're willing to accept the little bit of homework they assign each time, and dare to invite God into the center, just to make a few tweaks, you might just see a financial miracle happen. And I pray that you do. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. When someone asks me, how do you live differently because of Calvary? I say, three words. It is finished. My sin and my shame were nailed to the cross, and now I can live with a holy expectancy. Yes, we have trials and troubles as we live on this fallen planet, but we have so much to look forward to. You can live changed today because of what Jesus has promised you in your tomorrows. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friends Bob and Linda Loddick. And they join us each month to talk about our relationship to money and how truly, if we invite Jesus to the center of our finances and we start to trust him and follow his lead, we will see things turn around. And I love their story so much because it's similar to our story. It's different, but it's similar in that we were so upside down because of medical debt. But when we started to apply biblical principles and we started to practice just a few disciplines, what God did, just it was like we saw the enemy's plan for our finances fall apart. And I believe that can happen for you as well. We're going to come back to Bob's story in just a moment. He was given this backstory of in his 20s, his car died. He had a convertible, worked for a bank. Seemed like he had it all together till everything sort of fell apart and he was living check to check. And then God got a hold of him and he got a hold of God and then things started to change. But now let's go to Linda's story. On the podcast, you always make me laugh. You're so funny. But you were talking about living at home and I'm trying to remember. You had a full-time job and you paid for your car, but you kept getting a phone call that you kept avoiding. Uh-huh. And then they called your parents' phone. Tell us what happened.
Yes. Yeah. So I was living at my parents' house and they had a landline because this was, 20-something years ago. And I had a job. I had a cell phone bill and a car payment, and that was it. I mean, they're buying my toothpaste. Like, my mom's still making dinner for me every night. I had a great life. So I find myself making a sandwich, in the kitchen or something, and I see this phone number pop up on their landline, and it was a call I had been avoiding on my cell phone. But when I see it on the landline, man, I picked that phone call up real quick. I ran into my bedroom, ran into my closet, shut that door. Like I'm behind closed doors here because I need to take this phone call that I've been really not wanting to take. It is a bill collector. Okay. I had a full-time job. Like, there was no reason for me to get in this situation. And I mean, I don't even remember what I told them. I just remember, my heart pounding, my face was hot and bright red. And, I'm just feeling really embarrassed about this. I get off the phone call with them and I think, okay, that's taken care of. We're going to be done with that. I mean, this was how little I knew, right? I was young and naive, and
all you got to do is take the call.
Continue to call, yeah. So the next day, I go to work. I worked at a church. I go to work, and I come home from work, and my mother says, "Well, I got a phone call today. Interesting phone call. You want to hear about it?" And they had called, and she talked to them. Well, I just did the whole teenage, it's fine, Mom. I've got it under control. Like, totally tried to push her back when, so foolish at that time because I didn't know how to ask for help. Like, that's basically what it came down to. I thought I should know better, but I had never really learned better. My parents had taught me that debt was bad, but that was just about it at that point. Like, I didn't know how to not get into debt, or once you're in, how do you get out? Like, I didn't know any of this stuff. And so I just asked God for help. But most of what I was doing was just saying, God, can you just take care of this problem for me? And so, I think that was really my breaking point, but I knew so little. All I was doing was saying, God, can you take care of this for me? And also, can you help me marry a man who's good at math? Because hopefully he'll be better off than I am.
And God gave you Bob. How blessed are you?
And then, yeah, my knight in shining armor. I know.
One step ahead.
One step ahead.
That's great. I wonder, though, how often fear and shame are keeping people from the money conversation, even in the church, mm-hmm. outside the church, inside the church, where it's like fear. I don't want to face the reality of what's going on, so I'm just going to keep on charging, keep on spending, or shame. I can't bear to admit that I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd love for both of you to speak to that, because the enemy's behind that. God wants you free. So what do you say?
Yeah, no, it's so true. Like, we see this all the time with students where it's in the fact. Yeah. The fact of the matter is that we have to look at the mountain and be able to stand and look and see that there is a mountain there so that we can speak to that mountain and tell that mountain how big our God is. But if we just have our head buried in the sand and pretending like it's not there, and we're speaking from experience here, we're not like, you know, trying to cast shame and blame on anybody else, because we've been there, we've done it, but we know that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's why we're saying this. But that there's something there that is so true. And I believe that's what the enemy, one of his ploys with our financial lives, is to keep us bound up in shame and guilt. And that's why, like, we try to take a different approach, because, like, most of the financial experts that I've ever read books by or gone to their things, like, I've walked out of there feeling a heaviness, a weightiness, a guilt, like, you messed up and, you know, now you have to pay penance. And, you know, like, and it doesn't have to be that way. And that's not the way that I see Jesus talking to me about my financial life. I see so much more grace and love. And I want, he wants to help and get involved. You know what I mean? But we have to let him, you know?
I love that so much, because in every other area of life, he asks us to travel at the pace of grace. In every other area, I mean, growth, maturity, he's okay with baby steps. And you're so right. I have, I know what you mean. It's like the shame, and you got yourself into this. You got to get yourself out. And what you guys have said over and over in the book and on your podcast, you can't get yourself out. I mean, you can try, but you're, the kind of freedom and wholeness you're talking about involves a spiritual component. It involves an otherworldly kind of generosity and freedom. And that you can't do without the Lord, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it, and it's not even worth trying, honestly, because you spin your wheels and you end up being more frustrated and more confused than before. And I've done that so many times. But it's like once I actually started taking some natural steps and inviting God in, and at the same time, it was like I got out of God's way so he could help me.
Oh,
you know
that.
What I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
So you both, before you met, were you both sort of taking steps in the right direction? I mean, baby steps, or did you meet and you at that point of kind of both hitting rock bottom?
We met shortly after that. I literally met her probably 3 months after that point for me. So I think we were basically maybe one step in on our journey.
Yeah, probably about one step in. Yeah.
But you were, did you have a mutual... kind of a mutual conviction to kind of get this right? Or would you say, Bob, were you steps ahead just because of, you know, how God met you and how hard
I was a little bit more of the cheerleader, I guess.
Yeah, he was definitely driving it.
To, you know, because I felt like God had given me a glimpse of what was possible. And again, as I'm reading, I was reading a book or two about money and just realizing, oh, wow, I can actually grow in this area. Because that was something I didn't realize either. I just, so much of my mindset had been like, you're just born with it. Like, this is the skill that you have in any area of life. And this is your financial lot in life. And you weren't born rich, so you're never going to be rich, or, you know, whatever the thing is. Like, and so I had to kind of overcome some limiting beliefs there that really I just believed you couldn't improve or change, or God couldn't do anything. And so that was all part of what had to change for me. But in that, as we were on that journey, I think I was cheering Linda on a little bit and saying, hey, let's work on paying off our debt so that we can kind of move forward. And one of the interesting things that came out of that kind of season, though, was Linda and I discovered, as we're both, you know, broke, and that we both had this desire that God planted in our hearts to give away millions of dollars. And which is so hilarious, because we're sitting in our, you know, 12-year-old beat up car having a conversation about giving away millions of dollars when we don't have $5 to buy a gift for a friend for their birthday, you know, like, but that's just the way, that's what God does, you know?
That's amazing. And so he did plant the vision in your heart. What I love about that is he doesn't see us even for where we are, or who we are. He sees us for who we can become in him. And he was planting, talk about seed time. He was planting seeds. You know, you wouldn't have thought of that on your own. And when you started to kind of come together and you started to pay the debt, you started to get kind of some kind of momentum. I found this super interesting when I listened to your podcast, when you told the full story, that you were ready, Bob, to just pay off the house. And Linda, you had realized that possibly the idea of paying off a house had become an idol. So let's go to that point when you're walking in the field, Bob. You're praying and asking for God's wisdom and direction, and he jarred you with something he asked of you.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're fast forwarding a few years down the road, and we had made progress and paid off all of our credit cards, paid off both of our cars at that point, paid off a student loan. Like, we were just crushing it, and like, we're so excited. Thank you, Jesus. Like, we're finally feel like we're moving forward. It's everything's amazing. And in this context, this is when I go to this field and I'm praying, because again, I have this plan. I want to get our house paid off, because we've paid off all the other debt, and because of that, we have a lot of extra disposable each month, disposable income. And so we're putting thousands of dollars towards our mortgage each month extra. And so I'm going to God saying, God, I'd love to get this house paid off faster. And to be honest, like, we had a plan, like, if we just kept doing what we were going to do, it would be done in like 3.5 years, which, it's like, most people listening are like, why would you want it any faster than that? Like, I would love that.
Why are you complaining?
And, you know, and that's just me. Like, I just, I was on mission and I'm an American and I want it faster, you know? So I'm up there praying in this field, and I used to go to pray in this field all the time. It was super secluded, and I can just kind of have my time with God up there. And I'm praying, and I'm, Lord, I would love to get this mortgage paid off faster. Can you help me do that? And he just like interrupts me in my thought and, you know, verbalizing as I'm doing this, and says, one of the clearest things he's ever spoken to my heart. And he said, if you really want to see me move on your finances, I want you to begin giving your age as a percentage of your income. And so I'm like, wait a minute. So I like stand there, scratch my head, look up to the sky. I'm like trying to figure out, did I just hear that right? Like, that's crazy. Like, cause I was 31 at the time. We had been giving 11%. And so essentially I hear him asking me to give 31% instead of 11%. And I immediately start doing numbers in my head, calculations. Like, is there any way this is even possible? Like, are we even going to be able to buy groceries if we do this? And, you know, so I'm going through all the, like, every thought and emotion is all kind of swirling together. And then I get defensive and I kind of get annoyed, because I'm like, God, I have been tithing for so long and I just came here and asked you for something, and now you're asking me to give all of our money away. And now we're never going to get the mortgage paid off, and, you know, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And in that, I decided, okay, I'm going to go talk to Linda about this. And I talked to her, and one of the wise, you know, brilliant things that rolled off of her lips was basically, you know, if God's asking us to do this, there's a purpose behind it, and there's probably something really significant he has for us on the other side of it.
So
to which
good.
I'm like,
come on.
I'm like, okay. All right.
You married a good one there, Bob. So, Linda, what I loved about this, I wasn't going to say it. How do they say you punt outside, you're kicked out? You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, you did well. You did well marrying Linda. Yeah. But Linda, I loved your insight, because you said it in such a gentle, honorable way. But you said, I kind of think that the paying off the house had become an idol. Mm-hmm. And the reason I want you to talk about this, because I think a lot of noble things we can turn into idols, and we're not really open to an interruption from God. So speak to that, Linda, if you would.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people always ask me about this specific thing, because they're like, how did you get on board with this? And what I want to say is that God led us to this point. He had done this same type of thing several times leading up to this, where he was asking us to give away more. And for us, I realized each of those times where he was kind of drawing, like, here's the thing, he's drawing us to him. He's not pushing us away. And when we say yes to him drawing us closer, it pushes the other stuff out of the way. When I was thinking about this, I was like, the reason this is important is because we have made this debt payoff a little bit of an idol. We haven't been meaning to do it. We are trying to be good stewards, but in doing that, it almost became like an obsession to us. Like every time we would make another payment, it would be like, yes, you know, high-fiving each other, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that when it crosses a line, that's when it becomes, you know, wrong.
And it comes back to our hearts.
And it,
that's what it was for us.
Yes, wow. Always. But see, he is just continuing to pursue us. And so when he asked Bob, could you do this for me? I mean, it was really like laying something that we felt was a good thing, laying it down on the altar and saying, okay, Lord, we will put down our desires and we'll do what you ask us to do. But go ahead.
I was just going to say, what I love so much about that is when God invites us to do things, first of all, one of the ways you know he's speaking is he surprises you. You wouldn't have come up with that yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, but those invitations are meant to draw us closer to him, not to push us farther away. So which means to draw us closer, there could be something that's standing in the way, and it could be something noble and good. And how did you feel before – Well, the outcome of this is absolutely amazing. But before we get to that, we just got a few minutes before we take a break here, Bob. But those initial weeks of upping your giving by 20%, so you're giving at 31%, how did you feel spiritually? How did you feel physically? What did it feel like to you?
Yeah, so the thing that I always tell people is that in that moment, I did not feel like God was stiff-arming me and saying, you better do this or I'm going to get you. Like, it was very much like, I was reminded of Jesus standing on the water, inviting Peter, you know, and the other apostles out to come walk on the water. Like, I can just see Jesus out there with a glint in his eye, just being like, come on, I got you. Like, you could be the who gets to say, I get to walk on water, you know? And it felt like that. It felt like this invitation to go on an adventure with Jesus. And so it felt very, very different. And so, yes, of course, stepping out in that was scary. And, you know, like Linda was mentioning, it was laying down this thing on the altar and saying, God, I give up this idea of paying off the house in order to obey you and follow you. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust you. And so, yes, very, very scary in a lot of ways, but there was a peace of knowing that this was God. Like, we just knew that he was calling us to do it.
Yeah, so we're going to pause here. But friends, if you've never sown into your local church, if you've never sown into a ministry that you benefit from, ask God, what would you have me do? And then consider it an invitation to an adventure. I don't need your money. I'm not asking for your money. It's not something I want from you, but it is something I want for you because it will change your life. And if you consider whatever is causing me to white knuckle, if I'm willing to lay it down, what God is after is my heart. He wants to draw me closer, as Linda was saying. And then see the glint in Jesus' eye, because there's an adventure on the other side. So on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about, so they laid down the idea, a noble goal to pay off their home in record time. But by laying this down and upping their giving to 31%, Bob calculated it would take 10 more years to pay off that house. We're going to tell you what actually happened on the other side. Bob and Linda Lodick are my guests. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We've got my favorite money couple on the show. They join us every month, Bob and Linda Lodick. Their book, Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. And we're starting a series starting now. Every month they're coming on. We're going to give some homework if you choose, a challenge if you choose to accept it, to move you towards health and healing and wholeness and freedom in your finances, and even towards radical, powerful generosity. Again, only if you decide to choose to accept the challenge. So in a little bit, in a few minutes, we'll talk about the second most important number that you need to track. Next month, we'll talk about the first most important. But before the break, you were talking about how you guys went from financial brokenness to this momentum, you know, that flywheel principle, paying off all this debt. Bob, you were so excited and you wanted to pay your home off in record time. And you went for a walk in the field asking for God's help, which is so important, inviting God into the conversation about our finances, which you preached that and you were doing it. But God surprised you, and you were tithing at 11% at that time, 31 years old. And he said, I want you to tithe your age, basically. And by doing that, upping your giving 20 more percent, you said it would postpone the house payoff by 10 years. But you knew you'd heard from God, and He was leading you on an adventure and a path of obedience. Tell us what happened. You thought you were postponing house payoff for 10 years. Tell us what happened.
Yeah. So one quick idea, just as you were saying that, is that I just realized this, that so often when God asks us, or, you know, when we go to pray and ask Him for something, like I was, His answer requires us to think differently. And so He was bringing the answer to our prayer, which we'll share in just a second here, but it wasn't the way that I would have ever expected, you know? And so as we began that month giving, you know, 31% of our income, and so now instead of paying off, you know, putting towards the mortgage, we're just giving it all away every month. We noticed month after month, it's like, wow, some extra income was coming in, or we got a really big tax refund, or wow, the business is really starting to take off. And like all of a sudden later, 10 months actually later, 10 months later, it wasn't 10 years, but 10 months later, we were able to write the final check to pay off our mortgage. And it was just such an amazing moment of like seeing God come through in a way that it was so miraculous and unbelievable and unexpected. Mm-hmm. It's like we were expecting Him to do something, but that like never in a million years.
Yeah.
Like we could have never expected that.
Wow. And you guys gave $1 million. Was it before your 40th or around your 40th birthday? It doesn't even matter. But I mean, you were able to give. You had a goal, and somehow you hit that goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this was all part of it because, you know, once we started giving our age, and we've continued this for the last 11 years, incrementally increasing it, you know, and this is all by His grace because, like, you know, we've been through some roller coasters financially, you know, but by His grace, He's allowed us to continue to do this. But when you're able to give that high percentage of your income, like, and do that consistently, it really begins to add up. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's happened. And so we had this goal, again, from our early 20s of wanting to give away millions of dollars. And so I had a goal specifically of wanting to give away $1 million by age 40. And it was at age 39 in about 8 months, I just happened to go look at our tracking sheet where we're kind of tracking what we've been given. And I realized, wait a minute, we just crossed that $1 million giving line. And, you know, and it was one of those moments I went and told Linda, I'm like, look at what God has done. Mm-hmm, and so it wasn't like, you know, a self-congratulatory pat on the back, but it was like, look at what God did. Look at where we were and look at what He did in our lives as we just committed to obey Him and to give the way He called us to.
Wow. Anything you want to add, Linda?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this story sounds very sensational. And, you know, I think there's a tendency for people to draw conclusions about who we are and how we live. We had one person ask if we had a butler. To which Bob and I both responded like that. We burst out laughing because we have a very, what I think is a pretty regular, you know, American life.
We don't have a butler.
But what's interesting is that God is still, He put that in us. He saw our desire to have Him fulfill it. And then He gave us the blueprint on how to do it.
Yeah. Mm.
And so, you know, while some people think, well, you just have a lot of money, that's not actually the case. Like, He is doing this pretty much just with us being obedient and saying, we'll do whatever you tell us to do.
I got to say, too, one of the things you said on that initial podcast that I listened to, Linda, is you said, this is not a one-size-fits-all. Everybody's story is going to look different. And, you know, I love that so much because God invites us each on our own adventures. And as Kevin and I were out walking, praying and listening to this podcast for a second time, we felt the Lord telling us to dedicate a particular month as a thank offering month because we've been interceding, fasting, praying for a long time for certain things, and these answers have just recently come. And He's just asked us to significantly jump up that month, anything that comes in, any part of our income, but also a thank offering month to be more worshipful you know, generous mm-hmm. in our worship, more generous in the way we sow into others, just to be super mindful that the whole month is a thank offering month. And we're so excited about that. And that came out of us listening to you guys talk and Linda, you saying mm-hmm. this, you don't have to look like us, but ask God what he wants you to do, because he will ask you to do yeah. something that's fresh and new and outside of what you're able to do on your own, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I think part of why we share this story is not for anyone to look at us and think, you know, whatever of us, but just to inspire people to think beyond what they've, what the norm is in their life.
That's right.
You know, so like, I'm hearing you talk about this thank offering and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like the making a whole month about thanking God for this breakthrough that you've had. And what does that look like with your finances? And what does it look like with what you eat? And, you know, yeah, like you can go every direction with this. Right.
Yeah.
And I love hearing that just in a way of like, let's break out of the normal patterns of what we normally think. And mm-hmm. see what God has for each of us individually, because it really is mind-blowing, the different callings that he has and the different places that he has us each in. We can all achieve the same type of fulfillment in our lives just in the way that he has for us, which is what makes it more fulfilling anyway, right?
So good. Amen. Okay, we're taking a break. We're going to have to really cram this in. I don't want us to talk fast, but I do want us to cover this so bad. I bend towards talking too fast. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that second most important number. And we do need to take just a minute to talk about net worth. It's not net worth. That's not your most important number. But you guys don't love the idea of net worth. You like to rebrand this in a more redemptive, biblical way. So on the other side of the break, we'll talk about that and then get into this second number. And Bob and Linda says it takes you 10 minutes to come up with this number. And it's one to track. And they've come up with a little worksheet to make it super easy. And we're going to link that up in our show notes. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Bob and Linda Lodick are my guests. Don't go away. Hi, I'm Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. I remember one day after my show, driving home from the station, when my heart was very heavy. I was burdened with something that I really couldn't talk about, but God knew about. I was crying out to him for wisdom, insight, direction, something. Give me something, God, I cried. Suddenly, my ears perked to the voice on my radio, and it was someone on Faith Radio talking about the very problem that I had. I work for Faith Radio, yet at that moment, I was a recipient of a divine connection of hearing the right word at the right time. That's what God does. We love him for it. Every day, we do our best to serve up the best leaders, the best voices of our day to help disciple you in your faith. But then God does what only he can do. He steps in and helps you to hear the right word at the right time. If Faith Radio has become a part of your daily journey with God, we would love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and to help you grow at myfaithradio.com. I pray it's a great day for you. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're sure having a great conversation with our friends Bob and Linda Lodick, and they join us every month to talk about just healing, wholeness, freedom in your finances. And we literally just have a few minutes left. So Linda, take just a minute and tell us why you don't like the idea of measuring a person's worth under the net worth idea. Then we'll talk about your number two number to track. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at what we're worth, we need to look for that answer in the Bible and the price that Jesus paid for us. And so this term net worth is, you know, pretty popular. And honestly, at the beginning, I thought that that was just something that wealthy people had. I didn't realize that everyone has a net worth. And so, you know, but realizing that that's not actually what I'm worth. It is a dollar amount of what we are entrusted with and what we are managing for God's glory. And that really, like, just changing this name makes us keep that perspective of, can we be kingdom-minded in our money? And I love that about it.
Yeah, I love it so much because, as you said on the podcast, if you start seeing yourself through your net worth and you start to see others through their net worth, you're not looking at them or yourself redemptively, and it affects how you show up and how you treat people. So the phrase that you guys have branded is assets under management. This is the second most important number to track. So go ahead, Bob, and explain that and how we can figure that out in 10 minutes.
Yeah, so we'll get there.
I mean,
there.
No, we don't have 10 minutes. We got a few minutes, but go ahead.
So, yeah, like she said, what I love about this is it's a constant reminder to keep a proper perspective of our money and possessions, and namely that we are managers or stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And as managers, I believe it's really important that we know what we are responsible for. You would never hire a manager in any other field and them not know what they are managing. You know, so when it comes to our money, I believe we have a responsibility to know what we are managing. And this one number is a conclusive way to know what we are managing and to track our progress, whether we are moving forwards or backwards. And so it's really simple. It's actually a really simple second grade math problem. And you can calculate this. You can do this with a spreadsheet, a piece of paper, or again, like you're mentioning, Susie, we'll give our digital worksheet to anybody who wants it. And basically what you do is you total up all your assets, so everything that you own, okay, so from your houses, your cars, wedding rings, whatever, money in your bank, any of that stuff, any investments, those are all your assets. You take that total and you subtract out all the debts. So if you have a mortgage or if you have car loans, credit card loans, loan from grandma, whatever, all of that, you total up all your debts and then you subtract those two numbers and then you have your assets under management or AUM. And so just kind of breaking down a few more assets that, you know, for people who are trying to, you know, because we can't do this visually, we're just doing this over the audio here. But so, like I said, your home, your vehicles, bank account balances, retirement accounts, investments, jewelry, if you have a boat, really anything, the way that we do it is anything that has $500 of value. And when I say that, I mean, we could sell it for $500 or more. That's what we list in our assets column. And then the debt, like I said, any kind of debt, whether it's medical loans, student loans, car loans, mortgages, like get all of that on the debt side in that column and total all that up. Susie, where should we go from here?
Well, what I love about that, and Jill is texting in about it. Yes, we'll have a link in the show notes, so it'll take you right to their website and you can get it for free. I literally did it in 10 minutes. And one thing that you'd said on the podcast was the case for us. It's like when you just take a few minutes and go, here's the mortgage, you know, here is this, here's that, and you write in your basic debts. A lot of times you find out you're actually doing better than you thought. And a couple qualifiers, you said you don't write down a rent payment, right? The rent payment is not something that would go in a debt column. Anything else you want us to, like you said, you can kind of take it as deep as you want as far as maybe some of you have really expensive video equipment or camera or something. You can write that down, but you don't want to go book by book by book or whatever. So anything else you want to add to that just to make it easy?
Yeah. I mean, I have musical instruments that would be listed, but the point is, the goal is to make it a quick and dirty thing and not a, you know, cause you could go look, pull out your sock drawer and see how much you could sell your socks for on eBay and like do that type of thing. And most of us aren't going to want to spend that type of time. The goal is to be able to do this in 15 minutes. And so, for your home, the value of your home, you could go to Zillow.com or one of those sites to kind of see what sort of estimate they might have. Like, you don't need to go get an appraisal. Of course you could do that, but we're trying to make this easy for vehicles. I would go to KBB.com and see what they say your car is worth if you were to sell it. But that's how I would approach this. And I will just say, yeah, some people will do this and you might be excited by the number you see. And some people are going to see it and you're going to see a massive six-figure negative number because this is what happens in the world of student loans and medical debt and everything else now. Like, we encounter this a lot. But the important point to remember is that it doesn't matter. All this is a starting point. You are acknowledging where I am based on everything that's happened, and we're inviting God in. And we're saying, this is where I am, Lord. This is what I have to manage right now. Going back to the parable of the talents, whether you have one, two, or five that you've been entrusted with at this moment, this is where you start. And then now we begin proving ourselves faithful, whatever it is that we have to manage right now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that the copy that you have, that you allow, that's like a living document, isn't it? I mean, you can update that and watch it change. And I mean,
absolutely.
It's just amazing. Yep. So, and how often do you, I mean, I know when people are trying to lose weight, they ought not weigh themselves every day, even every week. Truly, it's not good for you. But how often would you say a person should check their AUM document?
Well, yeah. And you mentioned the weight thing. Like, that's a really good point, because we do talk about our students about this a lot, because no one would ever go and start a weight loss program and never step on a scale, because like, you're good not going to just try to measure your progress by how tight your sweatpants are, right? Like, right. You want something that's more accurate and that's going to give you true information rather than just how it feels. Because most people, most Americans, are just judging their financial life based on how it feels. Mm-hmm. It feels tight at
the end
of the month.
Right.
Or it feels like there's not much money in the bank or whatever. And that's what we're trying to tear down with this. We're trying to make it accurate and get rid of the feels. So in terms of checking it, we tend to check this every 6 to 12 months. And we've been doing that the last 15 years. And that seems to be a really good rhythm for us.
Okay, so that's your homework. That's your challenge if you decide to accept it. The link will be in our show notes. You can take 10, 15 minutes to figure out your assets under management. And this is not your net worth. Your worth is incalculable because you're made in the image of God and He loves you so deeply. But this is information. And with the information, God's going to issue you an invitation. And He's going to show you the next steps forward. And He's going to lead you to a place of freedom. And we want to go there with you. And that's why we've got Bob and Linda on every month. We love and appreciate you guys. Thank you for the time today.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Always such a good conversation. So they're going to be back on in just a few weeks, and we'll talk about that most important number that we need to track. Bob and Linda Lodic are my guests. The book, Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom, and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. We're so committed to your wholeness, your freedom. The enemy wants to lock you down, keep you captive, but Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and to set us free. We're going to live free, right? Love and appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. We'll meet you back here next time. Thank you for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These conversations are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and then share it with friends so together we can all have a deeper life in Christ.